doing a little juggling here because I skipped over a lot that I intended to give yesterday. Didn't have time for it. Sometimes it's hard to know exactly how much I'm going to get through. This is the last live sermon I'll be giving at the feast this year. Today's sermon is entitled God's Judgment, this being part two. So much of what we've been covering here at this feast in the sermons about various aspects of judgment have been leading up to this sermon today, and of course then the last great day, because it has greater meaning for us because of the very fact of judgment, that being a time, the great white throne judgment from God Almighty and all that He's given to us to understand about that. But I need to go back and pick up a few things from yesterday that I didn't get to. Thought I'd mention, sadly, the history of the church and the choices, the thinking, the reasoning, the logic, the judgment of the majority has been to follow the way of Satan and not of God. And when you know that and understand that, it's almost unbelievable that such could be the case. The apostasy was rather unbelievable, but it happened. What mankind is capable of, what we're capable of because of our selfish human nature. And the fact that God Almighty, once we're called, we and we alone can make the choice and the decision to place God first in our life and want what He offers us with all of our being, with all of our might, to fight for it. And that our desire is, as David's, to be after God's own heart, as the scriptures speak. And desire to please God, desire to love God and His Son and His family. And all those things are a part of that. And loving His family is in so many ways that which determines our true relationship with God and our true love toward God and His Son. Because we can deceive ourselves into thinking we're okay with God and we're doing what God wants, and everybody who leaves believes that as a whole, that it's them and God. It doesn't work that way. Anyway, the reality is that most, from the point of the beginning of the church on Pentecost in 31 AD and to now, have turned away from their calling. Many have turned against the church and against God's apostles because that's what they see, the ministry. And they turn against various ones throughout Scripture, whether it was Peter or Paul or John or whomever. And in time, they just see a human being and find fault and begin to find fault with what's being said and begin to establish something else that they believe in, that they want to believe in. And that's what the thinking has been so often on part of those who have moved away from the truth that they were given. They forgot where they learned the truth. They forgot how God works. And what they actually did, as we've already gone through, is become antichrist, turned against God Himself. Astounding. So the point of this series is there is yet judgment ahead for them. And it's not a simple thing. It's not an easy thing. At this point, I think it'd be good to review just a little bit of what God has revealed to the church in prior feasts, because it's so often at feasts that God has given us more to understand, to grasp, to comprehend, and they really are a very powerful witness, if you will, of a thunder, of thunders, two thunders in particular. First, in 2008, there was a two-part sermon entitled, The End of Satan. Incredible how much God has given us in understanding that, and that that's when He gave that to us, to comprehend, to understand that, and then what has been built upon that since that time, because there has been a building taking place to give us a little bit at a time and then continually adding to it, which has so much to do with the subject matter of judgment. But this was without the far greater understanding that came 2 years later. Incredible. So jumping ahead to 2010, just going over this quickly. 2 years later, excuse me, starting last of the feast. 2010, God gave us much more in the two-part series entitled Satan's Confinement and His End. So again, it was just building upon things that had already been given to us. And this is what led to the 53rd truth. I'm going to go ahead and read that. Sorry. 53rd truth. There is an end to Satan's existence. What an incredible thing. And I believe that this is when God revealed. When things are given the angelic realm, and even that which has rebelled against God, the demons and Satan, have learned things when God has revealed them. And there are things that God didn't reveal for a long, long time for purpose. And to understand that this was likely the very time when, in essence, Satan heard this. Becoming more stirred up as time has gone along, hating God's church that much more, but having a history, knowing that whenever God has said something, it's come to pass. His punishment is that of eternal death, never to have life again once God brings an end to his spirit life. Some have believed that since angelic beings are composed of spirit, that they cannot cease to exist and are therefore eternal beings. That's what we always used to believe in the church. Angelic beings can cease to exist. They are created beings that were brought into existence. They can also be removed from having existence by the one who created them. Incredible to know that. The only angelic being who has been formally judged by God through Scripture is the one who was created in the beginning as Lucifer, but who now carries the name of Satan and the devil. God has clearly revealed that his existence is coming to an end once he has fulfilled his purpose in God having allowed him to continue to exist through to the end of the age of mankind, which is an incredible thing to understand God's plan, purpose, and why he did that. Then more recently at the feast in 2021, in the two-part series entitled Revelation in the Feast of Tabernacles, when discussing the second phase of the third woe. Again, having to do with times of judgment. Because the reality is one of the greatest judgments that is talked about throughout Scripture in the Old Testament and on is about what's getting ready to happen upon mankind because of the timing of the example that's going to be set, that mankind has the capacity to destroy itself, and God is going to allow that to begin to take place through technology that's here. We have the capacity, man has the capacity for annihilation, self-annihilation, and God is going to allow that to begin the process to where one-third, just in one phase of something that's going to take place, are going to die, but there are going to be many more because there are others things to take place, and some of this concerning the third woe that's going to take place, and we don't know how much, but it could be a lot, as much as the other or more. Revelation 20 and verse 10. Even the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Incredible. Still not understanding that in times past, though, which just has to do with death. This is from a compound word, this and place, meaning that because of this place. So again here, even the devil who deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, the beast. So I'm reading this as it should be, because there are things we have totally misunderstood in times past. The beast, the or this false prophet. So in times past, some of these things have been thought to be a false prophet and a great church in the world, and we put emphasis on some of those things because we didn't know, because we didn't see, and it seemed to be the only thing that fit at that time with the present truth. And so looking upon then this series of individuals that have gone through time who claim certain status of being apostles of God. Thank you. Don't want the camera? Thank you. And so to understand then, the beast, the false prophet, it's about Satan. And so it wasn't translated well. And because it wasn't translated properly or well, because of concepts and ideas that that church had, candidly, led to misunderstandings, even within God's church, because we just didn't know until God revealed it. Incredible. Is tormented day and night, forever and forever. In other words, awaiting the final judgment. There's a torment in seeing things that God is doing, seeing things come together. There's going to be incredible torment when that being sees what takes place as Christ is coming, as Christ returns. 144,000, just as God said, just as God gave to the church to understand there'd be 144,000, and he witnesses that they're in the God family, something he never wanted to take place, something he thought was unfair and unjust, that some would be created, that would be made through time, who would have the opportunity to become a part of God's very family, who would be greater than the angelic realm. And so, especially after things have been said, what's going to take place with him, it's a torment up here in the mind. So what an incredible thing that God has progressively revealed so much to us to bring us to see more fully how the seventh trumpet encompasses this entire period of 1,100 years. I marvel at things like this as God reveals them, to realize certain scriptures that finally come together when God lets us see what it is, and to know that this takes place over a long period of time, that which is at the beginning of that period and that which is at the end, and then all the things that have to do with God's government on this earth for 1,100 years with Christ as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, indeed the Messiah. Now we're going to look at verses related to this and what it says, and learn that this is not a contradiction in Revelation 20 and verse 10, because sometimes people can go to that and say, well, what about this? So this is back in Revelation 19. But it's a matter that describes God's complete judgment that's accomplished in the third woe. And I've already mentioned that, the first part that takes place and then the last part that takes place at the very end. Revelation 19, verse 17. And, it's a matter of context, this word and can be translated as even or also, and so forth. Also, I saw an angel standing in the sun, and, or even, he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowl that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. It's a time of judgment, and powerfully so, of what's going to take place on this earth, especially as Christ is returning, because he's going to destroy, and the 144,000, they're going to actively work at destroying those who are destroying the earth. Incredible to understand that, because it's going to encompass vast numbers of people around the earth. So that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and those who sit on them, and the flesh of all, free and bond, both small and great. So it's a matter of judgment, God's judgment, at the end of 6,000 years, to begin to set things right, to begin to take control. And to do so means that others have to be destroyed. And then to begin to work with those who can be worked with in a greater way as a result of being fearful, of being humbled, being brought down, and beginning to be able to work with them and giving them opportunity. Even though all of them, as time goes on, will not turn to God. They're going to resist. So again, a duality in the third woe, at the return of Christ and at the end of the 100 years. So to have these things revealed to us is awesome. But sometimes we can get to a point where we don't realize how much has been given to us and continues to be given to us, and we can begin to take it for granted. Verse 19. Also I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. So, again, to understand some of these things and the duality involved, and especially at the very end. So it's important here to note that both Satan and the beast and those who followed him are being spoken of in the context of judgment. Powerful what God has to say about judgment. Revelation 19:20. And the beast was taken. I'm not going to go through and explain all these the words that are being used here. The beast was taken, and this false prophet that wrought miracles. So again, here, some of these things are talking about those things. Also, the beast was taken with this false prophet that wrought miracles before him. This still isn't the best translation, but the best that can work with at this point by using the words that are there. Wrought miracles before them, which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image, or the same. The word means the same image, not the word his. These both, the beast as well as the people who make up the kings and their armies, is what it's referring to here, were cast alive in the lake of fire burning with brimstone. So again, it brings it to a conclusion here of what's going to take place in time. There are things that begin at the beginning, but there are things that take place at the end, and they all have duality. I'm not going to spend any more time on that. We've already gone through these. So again, God's judgment is administered on mankind at two very important times, and awesome to understand this as a matter of the third woe. I want to speedily get into the sermon now here that continues on that I didn't get into yesterday. Let's turn over to Ezekiel. Picking up some things to understand a process of time that we're to see that happened in, if you will, then to Lucifer, to Satan, and then what happened to mankind, and then what happened within the church, and what God has to say about it as a matter of judgment. Ezekiel 28, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, Thus says the Eternal, You are the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. What God placed in his mind of himself as far as knowledge and understanding of various things to a point, but didn't give him his Holy Spirit. You were in Eden, the garden of God. You were anointed, the anointed cherub that covers. I established you so. Talks about how he is perfect in your ways and the day that you were created until iniquity was found in you. Then going on here in verse 17, your heart was lifted up. It's incredible what can happen even after one is called in God's church, because this has happened a lot. To understand a process that can take place in time, individuals can be called, be on fire, be excited about what they're learning, humble themselves to receive what God has given, and then in time, because of various experiences in the church, can begin to be lifted up with their self-importance, what they think of themselves. Go to Ambassador College and think that they can come back and have rights to speak and to preach any time that they should so desire, that it should be allowed, that it should be given to them because they have earned it or whatever, or they think they're better than others in the church, because that happened a lot. Or just because they had the opportunity to go to college like that and come back and look down on brethren. That happened a lot in God's church. And those who were part of Worldwide know that was true. How they acted, so often fed by some of the ministers, in essence, at college, the teachers at college, putting in their minds, you are better than the congregations. You're to go out there to help them because they need you. Sick, perverted. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty, because of what he saw in himself, how he saw himself. And this is the thing that has gotten so many people. People become lifted up with their own haughtiness, their own, what they think they see and grasp and comprehend that others don't see. They believe that the church doesn't see and understand what they see and understand. Like, hear that conversation in my mind a few months back, hearing that kind of stupidity and garbage. The church doesn't have love. The church doesn't listen to the news. The church doesn't keep up on things like they should. People in the church, and they won't listen to it. It's like, you choose to be dumb because you won't listen to me. Because I see. I understand. That's happened to so many people. The attitude and the spirit who leave God's church. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. And here's the important part to understand. You corrupted, you ruined your wisdom by that thinking. You've destroyed what God gave to you, the mind. Because once that enters in, it destroys what is true and what is right. And that's happened to so many people in the environs of God's church, to begin to corrupt the beautiful mind that God gave at baptism, the thinking that can begin to take place with God's Spirit here. And as we yield to that and humble ourselves, the growing and the ability to see things that we otherwise could never see nor never learn. All those who came into PKG and all the truths that have been revealed, that came to see and be told new truth that was never known in God's church, never known in the past 6,000 years, that God chose a particular time to reveal those things, the present truth at that time. And yet, themselves in time to begin to be lifted up, to begin to turn away from that, they begin to lose that as soon as they start thinking in a wrong way, reasoning, thinking in a wrong way, lifting up self and how we see, how I see things. I don't agree. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to wear the mask because I've read too much and I know too much. You won't do it out of love and just a matter of the fact that it's been said that we need to for a period of time. Find out later on it. Basically worthless, but are we willing to do it? Are we willing to do it because we were told to do it? Some chose not to, wouldn't do it, because they knew better. It doesn't matter what you know. It's a matter of what you obey. It's not a matter of a right and a wrong in the sense of human life, whether it's good or not, or whether it works or not, or whether that works or not. It's immaterial. It's what comes out that we're told, and whether we're willing to continue to grow and receive what God gives to us, to learn from and to test and try us. And if we won't do it, then we start corrupting our minds. Our minds begin to change. We begin to lose what God gave to us, to where after a while you have a conversation with someone and you, what do you see? Is there anything left? Well, I won't eat pork. Sometimes that's all that's left. I'm never going to eat pork. That's what I'm taking away with me as I leave the church. I'm never going to eat pork. Might have a Christmas tree, but I'm never going to eat pork. God said I shouldn't. Isn't that insanity? Absolute insanity. You corrupted your wisdom. In other words, what God gave to you in the mind, by reason of your splendor, I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings, that they might gaze upon you, before rulers. And those, as a whole, those rulers are not about rulers in the world. It's about the 144,000 kings and priests. And you're going to be on the ground before them, and you're going to be destroyed. That's your end. You were created, and you'll be uncreated. So he's still hearing those things. Genesis chapter 6, and we see what the time of Noah. The Eternal saw the evil of mankind was so great on the earth. We've had this series about evil, and we're to see it. We're to understand what it is, and we're come to understand how evil it is when we're impregnated with God's Spirit and we turn against what God has given to us. That's the greatest evil of all. It really is. It's the greatest evil that one can do. The Eternal saw the evil of mankind was so great on the earth, and that every imagination, you know, the thinking, the reasoning, the forming of thought and idea of what they're... You look at the world today. Man, we are there. Absolute stupidity, ignorance, foolishness. Clownish. And then saying stupid things that make no sense whatsoever, indicative of what society and the world is becoming. I think a lot of you know what I'm referring to. Don't even have to say names. Don't need to. And that every imagination of the thoughts of your heart was altogether evil continually. So the Eternal sought comfort from his sorrow. His disappointment is what it's about, that mankind would go that far and do those kinds of things. And it's It's like any parent looking at a child and children choosing the wrong thing and then suffering because of it and the disappointment that might be in something like that, and then it just gets worse and worse with God and God's way of life. Anyway, of having man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart, or disappointment, if you will, in here. Verse 7, so the Eternal said, I will destroy mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, both mankind and animal and all that moves and the fowl of the air, for there is need to be comforted from the sorrow of having made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Eternal. Isn't that amazing? One person. God brought it down to there was one person left who would receive him, who would listen to him, who would humble themselves, who could be worked with, who was drawn by him, who was able to carry on from that which had been passed down to him. He was the eighth, as it says, the eighth preacher of righteousness. Verse 11, the earth was fully corrupted. Talking about mankind. Mankind was everything else, including his own children. But God had mercy on Noah. Left him a family for a purpose of starting again on the earth and replenishing the earth. The earth was fully corrupted, having gone to ruin before God, and the earth was filled with violence. In other words, all that's wrong and evil. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. That has to do with the mind. For all flesh had corrupted their way. The mind, the thinking upon the earth. So, things that we're to learn and have deeply etched into our being. And to understand these things, to understand our nature more deeply, and to understand the history, and it's that which can help us in the future to help others. Going to go through some scriptures in Ephesians, but let's jump on down to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. See Paul's concern when addressing the Corinthians here. So, warnings that God gave to the church at different times, certain things that were not to be repeated that would be repeated, that happened from the very beginning with Lucifer, that mind, that selfishness, and how it can destroy the mind of thinking that God gave. And then to see what happened to the earth to the time of Noah, and then to see other things that have happened later on. We could go through and look at some things in the Old Testament, but we're just going to jump ahead here to the church. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1. I wish you would bear with me as he's talking to the Corinthians and stating something that he really shouldn't have to state. He's saying, so he's saying here, I wish that you would bear with me in a little foolishness. I'm going to throw this out at you, and it's foolish, but hear me out. In a little foolishness, in other words, give a foolish account of something he shouldn't even have to express to the church. So indeed, bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. There's that zealousness to protect, to take care of, to want to see come through all this, to want to see grow, to want to see the continuation of fighting against self and all the things that need to be seen when we're called. And so he's saying, for I have espoused you to one husband. Meaning here there is to be loyalty, faithfulness, not spiritual adultery, idolatry, that type of thing is what he's expressing here. That I may present you as a chaste virgin, one who's been fully cleansed in that respect before God, forgiven of sin, and continue to be able to be forgiven of sin, because we can never be perfect in any fashion or form as human beings before our change comes or before we die and then resurrected. So, again, a chaste virgin to Christ, so cleansed, purified before God over time, and it's in the mind that this takes place. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be or become corrupted. He says, I fear that. He's telling the Corinthians, you need to understand this can happen, and I fear that it will. Well, Paul had already seen enough to see people that had to be put out of the church. He had to put different ministers out of the church, name them by name. That you should become corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ, that which should be, with God's Spirit, plain, clear. That's what the word is about, simplicity that's in Christ. That's why I love the magazine. It wasn't an accident that it was called what it was, that Herbert Armstrong and his wife Loma began to run off on one of these devices you turn around. You can copy some pages on it. You put the pages on there and the carbon part, and then you start running them off and call the plain truth. The plain truth. Then astounding to see what God brought it to. Millions and millions every month. I think it was right up to 9 million at the end. Copies going out in several languages throughout all the earth. Incredible. The power that God gave to that for a purpose toward the end time, toward a witness toward the end time. And people wouldn't listen as a whole, but seeds planted in many cases and still coming along to this day at times as a result of some of that. So again here, he's pleading with them and saying that this can happen, the simplicity, that which should be clear. And everything we receive, every truth we receive, there will be times that if we're yielding to God, our minds are going to be open. We're going to be able to see it. It's going to be plain. It might take a little bit, just like when God began to give the truth that Christ hasn't always lived. He didn't have existence with God the Father, Yahweh Elohim, going back in time. But he had a beginning. That was a giant change at a Feast of Tabernacles. Incredible. The sermons we went through at that time. So it didn't matter at what stage during that period of time of those days that someone was able to see it, and all of a sudden it's like a light bulb going on. Now you can see the room, in the room, a dark room, and all of a sudden it's there. Powerful, incredible how God's Spirit works in our minds. But we can lose that as human beings if we're not living right, if we're sinning against God. For if he who comes preaches another Joshua, whom we have not preached. So often this has been taken in a wrong way. It's like looking in the world and someone comes knocking on your door, which I forgot to tell that in Eindhoven this happened one day when I answered the door. Forgot to tell you, I did you all a favor, I got rid of them. Saw the thing there, I don't know Dutch, and I couldn't fully read, but I could see the thing he had there, and I knew what it was saying. Their watchtower, whatever it is. Anyway, no, don't want to hear it. Bye. Anyway, don't spend any time with them. I've known of people who try to reason with them. You might as well go talk to your dog. I want to tell you about the Sabbath day. Do you keep the Sabbath? It's like, we'll see you. Bye. It's just that simple. It's about the church. This is about the church. It's not about something in the world. It's not about someone coming knocking on your door or someone who wants to talk something about the church to you or whatever. Somebody asks us a question, we are to answer in that respect. If whatever, someone we know or whatever, and give them a clear-cut answer of something that's to the point. But we don't have to unload the whole truck, because I did that in the beginning. Some of my family members, they were all together one night. We were visiting. They were down visiting, and different family members, and talking about some of these things. And I gave them the whole truckload. I gave them everything I could. And it's like, I don't think they ever wanted to come back. Anyway, so I think we make those kind of mistakes from time to time. For if he who comes preaches another Joshua, whom we have not preached, if you didn't hear it from, who's he referring to? To the apostles, to those who were preaching at that time, to to those to whom God was working to raise up the church, to work through other ministers as well, to have the truth go out. So if someone comes along and they start teaching something different from what you've heard, or if you receive another spirit, there are those and times that they come to a certain point, they have a different spirit. When someone tries to get you to go off and do something in secret, we're having this meeting over here and it's going to be a little Bible study. It's a different spirit. It's not from God. It's not what's taught in the church. So this is what he's talking about here. Or another gospel, good news. Well, that's what it's about, isn't it? They're going to be saying something different. They want to teach you something different. They want you to see something different than what you see. So you start listening to them because they're the teachers. They're the ones who have the knowledge and the insight, not the ministry, which you have accepted, in essence, from the beginning, which you received in the beginning, which the truth you should have known where it came from and how it comes to you. And don't lose that. That's basically what he's telling them. You might well bear with me. That's right. As your apostle, the Corinthians. For I reckon I am not a bit behind in the very chiefest of apostles. So not only apostle, if someone is going in a different direction and someone's rising up. Because you see, we've gone through scriptures in time past, if you remember them, not too long ago, when we discussed the fact that those who want to become teachers are making themselves apostles. Who say they are apostles and are not. They don't have to say it. It's because they're teaching you something different that they have raised themselves up in the position of those whom God is working directly through to his church. That's what was being said back there. So, should be clear to us what it's talking about here. So I'm not behind in any of the chiefest of what you might think is an apostle. Not necessarily referring to the apostles. Well, we're going to go back to the book of Jude, where we were a little bit yesterday, and build upon some more of what is said there. Jude, verse 3. Because this has a continuation of that which we need to grasp and comprehend about what it means, the precious gift that God has given us, a mind, reasoning, thinking, but when he gives his impregnation of his Holy Spirit with the mind, and then the blessing of being able to be filled with the continuation of Holy Spirit working with us, teaching us, molding and fashioning us to transform that mind more and more to yield to that impregnation to grow spiritually toward birth. Awesome. And then we see this progression of things that can happen, that have happened over and over again in God's church, and to understand the seriousness of it in the context of judgment. Verse 3, Beloved, I have given all urgency to write unto you of the common salvation. This is said with deep, deep feeling. This is set by being moved mightily in what he's saying. It's necessary because God was giving it to him and it was heavy for him. It is necessary for me to write to you and exhort you earnestly to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. So he saw that which was moving away from what was given to them and saying, contend, fight for it. For there are certain ones, so this is the context of everything that Jude has to say, these, those, them, these certain ones. There are certain ones who have come in alongside us who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. So again here, we went through this yesterday. Ungodly ones. Because they're not yielding to God. They're raising themselves up in self-importance. They've gone off base somewhere. They have sin out here that they're holding on to, thinking they can live in certain sin that's out here, practice certain things that they know they shouldn't be doing, but yield themselves to. You know, if there's certain sin and certain things that are wrong in your life and how you're living, and God gives a list of various things that you should not participate in, you should not do, then don't do it. Don't let it be a part of your life. Ungodly ones, turning the grace of our God for the purpose of participating in lewd behavior, wrong behavior. So there are things that people can practice and do that's just wrong behavior, and denying the only Lord God. So how do we do that? Well, it's a spiritual thing, isn't it? To deny God, to deny Christ, to deny that power, that spirit that can come into our life because we're not living like we should be, and so we're being cut off, or we're squeezing that umbilical cord of life so the power of that which is spiritual doesn't make it into us, to feed us, to strengthen us, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Joshua the Christ. Verse 6, even the angels. So we're going to read some verses through parts of Jude here that we didn't read yesterday. Even the angels, which did not keep their original domain. They weren't doing what God gave to them. The task, the things that God told them to do, to gave them responsibility over, there are those who turned against that and went off to do something else, began to try to do something else. Got to a point where they actually tried to destroy the earth. Incredible. That kind of power, which should tell us that there are things that they had power to do. And anyway, but when they did it God's way, that was good, that was right. But when they didn't do it God's way, then we see chaos and confusion begin to enter in, and to a point where almost everything is destroyed and lays, it's without life, or no light coming through to the earth for how long? Tens of thousands and thousands and tens of thousands. We don't know how long. Years before God came along and began to separate the firmament. And the sun began to come through. Began to remold and refashion things and set things into proper orbit. The Satan and the demonic world had sought to destroy, if you will. Incredible. So even the angels, which did not keep their original domain, that's what this is about. The responsibilities that were given to them, and the power that was given to them to exercise, but left their own habitation. He has reserved in everlasting constraints. So they had their power removed in large part. Not all, but the power to do what they were doing before, God took it away. Under darkness, he has reserved in everlasting constraints. Under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Well, which one is this? Right to the end. Right up to the end. The power to control, the power to do various things, the power for 1,000 plus whatever time that's going to be years, when they're even constrained more and can't even broadcast anymore, can't be around mankind during that period of time. And then the power to let loose for a period of time, to go out and do what they're going to do, what they do best, lie, deceive, destroy to their max that they can by how they influence others. Mankind. Under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after other flesh. You think of today. I think of where I've come to. I don't like the looks of the way mankind has depicted it. Rainbows. I candidly despise them. Not the rainbow of what God put in the sky for a purpose to say, I will never do this again on the earth to mankind. What an incredible thing. It never existed before that. But that he changed various things on the atmosphere and so forth to where that would be there. When you have certain moisture and so forth, the earth watered in another manner. We can't comprehend fully all those things and how God did it, but God did it. And then to have that and then have mankind come along in an evil, sick, perverted way, to twist and distort something, to try to cram something down people's throat because they want to do away with anything that God says, because we are going to do what we want to do. You know, so religion gets pushed farther and farther away, that more that mankind wants to do evil and participate in all kinds of crazy things. and then cram it down people's throat, and then begin to work with little children in schools and begin to distort and pervert their minds and begin to make them wonder, what am I? What am I? I think there's a governor out there in a way out west made the comment about you can basically choose whatever gender you want to be. If it doesn't exist, make up one. Whatever it is you want to be. Free, 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 free. Don't let anybody tell you anything different. Don't let your parents tell you anything different. You want to do something different? Small little minds influenced by those who are supposed to be looking up to and respecting and showing respect to in schools. You think, respect? No, I'd like to vomit there. You want to walk from the desk out here toward the children? Slip in it, please. Just wallow in it, please. Because that's what you are. That's what you're doing, your sick, perverted minds. I look so forward to God cleansing this earth. And I hope we all do, to realize that this evil that's come about at different times is now greater than it ever has been on earth. We have surpassed the time of Noah. We've surpassed that time. We've surpassed the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. We're way past that. Because of technology, because of the ability that mankind has and the misuse of something like that to influence minds at a very young age and then to cause people to be so screwed up that you wonder, can they ever be delivered from that? Can the mind go so far that it becomes so corrupted that it can't even be delivered from that? That's where Noah's time was, because the minds were so corrupt. Some are set. Some of those minds are set. They will never, being resurrected, will never, never, never choose God. Will never want what God is offering them, because their minds are so screwed up. That's what people can do to this precious thing that God has given to all human beings, a mind, an ability to think and reason. What a shame. What a horrifying thing. And so some people wonder, well, what about healing? Can't they all be healed? Can't God just heal the mind? No, because it's unique. And you put things in it. By what you allow to come in here, and what you allow to come in here, and what you allow to go around inside of it. We're all responsible for our minds. It's not a matter of healing. It's not like somebody had an arm chopped off and God's going to resurrect them with a whole, with another arm. He actually has to give them a whole body, doesn't he? Because they don't exist. There's dust here. There's dust. Maybe they died in the Sahara. Jeremy talked to me about how that over, all the way over in Grenada, they get dust that gets up in the atmosphere when great winds come up in the Sahara in Africa, and it drops there in that area of the world. You think, well, part of it might be somebody who died in some point in time, and we're just all over the world, mankind. So when God resurrects people, the mind is not something, the only healing that can take place in the mind is spiritual, of a mind that already exists. And either it can receive that or it can't. It's not a matter of going in and getting out the, like you might if you had an old circuit board and you've got this hot thing here and some stuff, you know, it's heating up and you're changing some of the circuitry. And it doesn't work that way in the human mind. What we put in here, we're responsible for. Whatever has happened through time, we're responsible for. Mankind is responsible for itself, for what it's done, for its choices. And if it can't receive God's way of life at some point because it chooses it doesn't want it, that's the choice. I hope we understand that. It's not God's purpose to go in and make somebody different from what they were. Get that hot iron, whatever that thing is, soldering iron, that's what I'm looking for. And restructure our mind, because then you're not the same person anymore. To take all certain things away out of it that corrupted it in the first place, what's that all about? Doesn't work that way. Hope we understand that. We're all responsible. And there are just a lot of people who will never be in God's family. That's righteous and that's just. That's righteous and that's just. It's not owed to anyone. How blessed are you? that your mind wasn't corrupted because of where you might have been on somewhere on the earth, what you might have been influenced by somewhere on the earth at some other time. God has allowed mankind total freedom for 6,000 years to choose as a whole what they want. It is the purpose and plan of God. And then out of that, God will bring people into His family. It's not His purpose to have everyone saved. Not that God wouldn't desire that. That's not my point. My point is that's not how we're created. There's so much we don't grasp and comprehend in these things. But we need to understand above all things that God is all righteousness. All righteous. And the more we grasp and comprehend that, the more we love God, the more we love His ways, the more we come into unity with His judgment, the more right we become. Because He's right. And sometimes we just haven't fully recognized His purpose and how He works and what He does. And sometimes we haven't understood the soberness of what it means to turn against the one who was beaten beyond recognition for us. To turn against Him. To turn against our Father. And hold up something we consider more important. I'm just tired of hearing and being reminded about that shot, about that jab. I'm just tired of hearing these things. I've had enough. It's just too much for me. That's your choice. If you're that tired of it, tired of hearing it, I'm just tired of hearing that we can't wear makeup. Just tired of hearing it. I'm tired of hearing that my wife can't wear makeup. I like it. I want it. What an incredible thing to pin your entire life on. Life everlasting? What are we missing? Sorry, but it's amazing what we're like as human beings. And the more we see ourselves, the better off we are. The more we can understand our thinking and our minds and how they work, the better off we are. The more we're alert and on guard against how we think. And to understand God's love, God's mind. And if we don't agree with it, c'est la vie. Sayonara. That's what's going to be done. Go live what you want to live. You like others who talk about fight against God's church, hurt God's people? That it's okay? It's okay within God's church to do those kinds of things? No. So again, here I'm trying to get back into this. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after other flesh. Mind-boggling. Are set forth as an example, suffering, the word is justice. The justice of eternal fire, which simply means to be dead for all time when that judgment is given. Jude 10. But these speak against those, them, the ungodly. It's talking about the environs of the church. But these speak against this slander, speaking against that which those things which they do not know, they cannot see. It's happened over and over again in God's church of those who leave. But what they know naturally, carnal human nature, as unreasonable creatures. That's how people respond. By these things, they corrupt themselves. This is about the church. This is about people who've had opportunity in God's church. Those ungodly ones. It's not talking about the world. They haven't been given that opportunity yet. It's those who've been called, who receive the impregnation of God's Spirit, and then do these things. But what they know naturally, what an incredible thing to begin to rely on oneself, one's own self-ability to analyze, to reason, to think, and not looking to God for proper reasoning and thinking, guidance and direction in life, because that's the difference within the body. By these things they corrupt or destroy themselves. In other words, destroy their own mind. So, Lucifer, the angelic realm, down to the time of Noah, on we go through time and come up to the end time, and the church toward the end time, and it's giving some very strong admonition about what can take place. It all leads to judgment because of our own individual choices and decisions. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. So all these things concern judgment and are far more serious than we've candidly ever grasped within the church. This is something that God is giving better understanding of within the body. The seriousness, the sobered, be sobered by the reality of understanding what God is telling us. So again, Christ was very much to the point when speaking to the Jews, primarily those who considered themselves religious and following God, and saying here in verse 31, Therefore I say to you, all manner of sin and blasphemy or slander, as the word is, shall be forgiven mankind. All manner, if we understand the parameters. When individuals are called and they repent in sincerity and truth before God and begin to grow. All manner of things that have been done in mankind. But blasphemy, slander, this is on a spiritual plane, of the Spirit shall not be forgiven mankind. As long as individuals choose to repent, will seek to see and understand their minds and the danger and the evil that exists in carnal, selfish human nature, and fight that battle and seek God's help to fight that battle. But if one begins to work against God's Holy Spirit, the thing He wants to give for all ages to come to dwell in us with never being quenched or cut off, that which emanates from the mind and the being and the power of God Almighty on a holy plane, says will not be forgiven them. If the mind goes to that point, becomes corrupt to the point that they do this. That's why it's so dangerous. Far more dangerous than we have ever grasped. When we have the impregnation of God's Spirit in our mind and we begin to choose to go against that. To go against what God has given to us to embrace and to hold on to. And if that continues and goes on and becomes so set in our minds, where does it lead? But the blasphemy, the slander of the Spirit, which is something that's done on the spiritual plane, shall not be forgiven mankind. Willingly choosing to work against God's Spirit that He's given to transform the mind. Even whoever, it's not the word speaks, it's not even used. Even whoever, a word, so yes, if it is about this, against the Son of Mankind, in other words, does something in that sense of an action, which doesn't just have to be a word, the Son of Mankind, it shall be forgiven them. In other words, upon genuine repentance, because we all have sin and it's against Christ, and we understand that. And if we haven't been able to keep up here every time, because we can't as human beings. Every time we sin, if we were able to keep that in the forefront of our mind, we would never sin. But the reality is we still do. And so to understand what he went through for us so we can be forgiven, so we continue to repent. That's a blessing that God has given to us. That's what grace is about, the ability to continue to repent. It shall be forgiven them. Yeah, it's a matter of repentance. Genuine repentance. But whoever does so against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven them. Because the point is, you can go too far and come to a point in time where individuals become antichrist, and then within that realm, has a person gone too far? That's God's judgment. But the reality is, in far many, too many cases, that's exactly what's taken place. We should be deeply sobered by that, to understand that. When we begin to work against the power of God's Holy Spirit in our lives, shall not be forgiven them, neither in this world, neither in that to come, which is the great white throne. The point being is that there are those in the past 2,000 years who have gone too far. Not a matter of simply going to sleep spiritually and becoming weak, but a matter of choice, have turned against what God gave to them. By choice, began to fight and resist. By choice, became bitter and angry toward truth, to the point of hating those whom God has sent and those in God's family. Verse 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. What can be produced? If a person gets to a point where they will not repent, and that's the point, it's a choice. Just refuses to repent. That can become more set in the mind. Man, probably a good thing this is the last day I'll be speaking live. But again here, incredible to understand what it's talking about here. And it's fruit corrupt, because after a time, it can be, there can be such corruption and the mind so corrupt that it can't think right, it won't repent. That's the ultimate of corruption. No, thanks, I appreciate it, but that's, it's okay. For the tree is known by the fruit. I think I'm past it. We'll see. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? To go so far, it's not about the world. The message wasn't to the world. It was for the church to come, the church that would be established after he is resurrected, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, when the impregnation of God's Spirit was given to others for the first time. For the first time, the impregnation of God's Holy Spirit in the mind, beyond that of Christ and what happened to him, to human beings strictly of human birth. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good person out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. Also an evil person out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. That's how far it can go. And it can't turn back. It won't turn back. It becomes so stubborn and set in its ways. To learn that lesson of Lucifer, what can happen in the mind and spirit, we can do with the impregnation of God's Spirit. We can go so far to resist for so long and turn against for so long, and our mind can become set then in something that can never be changed. Why roll the dice spiritually? I mean, that's a lot. It's like, I'm going to keep trying here. Sick. Yet I say to you that every idle word that someone speaks, they will give account about in the day of judgment. You think, wow, it's about repentance. Do we repent deeply of what we are, of things we've done, of how we've spoken and said certain things? Do we keep on top of that and ask God for help in saying right things, especially in relationships toward one another, and repenting of the things we've done wrong? Because when that ceases and that stops and people begin to be eaten up by other things and jealousies and envyings, because I've seen it over and over and over and over again in God's church where people become so eaten up with jealousies and envyings and lust, and I want that job and I want to do that and I want to be recognized. I want you to recognize me. Almost demanding. I want you to recognize me. I should be lifted. I should be recognized more. I deserve that. What's that all about? Do we not see we're a part of an incredible family? And the recognition from God Almighty is what counts above all things. He's called you. He's opened up our minds. I say that because it still exists in God's church. I deserve to be recognized. I want to be seen. I want to be heard. Give me a break. We understand what that means and we'll grow. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be judged. Condemned, sentenced to condemnation, if you will, everlasting judgment. Matthew 12, verse 38. So we're just showing the seriousness of what's being said, just here going on now, and what's being said, what Christ had to say, to realize these are profound things, these are powerful things, and it wasn't to the world, it's to the church that we're to be sobered by these things and to understand the seriousness of our calling and the awesome blessings of what God has given to us to experience and to have, and to have Him, that mind in our minds. We're so blessed. To repent? Yes. It's a part of grace. Thank God He's given us that. But to cease repenting? I've seen it over and over and over again where people have ceased repenting in God's church and they go off on tangents and they can't see anymore. Their eyes are blinded. Verse 38. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answering said, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, An evil and an adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Isn't that amazing? Even on a physical plane to those leaders, there are so many things they were able to see. So even in their part, there's a judgment. There are things that, to deal with. But one day to have opportunity to receive what is true, to be able to see it fully, and choices to be made at that time. And some aren't going to make the right choices because they're so steeped in what they held on to, what they wanted, what they believed. And whew. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Mankind be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. There are going to be a lot of people on the earth who have called themselves Christian who are going to have a difficult time even with this. Later on, of what they did with their day and a half thing. It's going to be hard. You know why? Because of pride. Because of pride. The men of Nineveh will rise in judgment with this generation and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. So it's about a willingness to repent. And look, greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south shall rise in judgment and condemn it. The judgment of this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And look, a greater than Solomon was here. So even on a physical plane, the reality is, and what's being spoken of here, is that there are going to be people in the world because of who they were. It didn't just happen at the time of Christ being here. It's going to happen later on too. There are going to be people who just resist and are lifted up with pride and they're going to hold on to that. So finally, let's look at the conclusion of all this. Back into Jude. Jude 10. But these, speaking of the ungodly, but these speak against, again, those things which they do not know. In other words, they cannot see it anymore. To think that can happen? Yes, it happens. But what they know naturally. So again, here, reading that. By these things they corrupt or destroy themselves. To understand what we can do in God's church, because this is about God's church. We can destroy our minds. We can corrupt our minds to a point that it can't be turned around, because we don't want to. Incredible that can happen, but it can happen. Has happened. Verse 12. These are as a reef. It's like being on a ship and coming up to a reef and becoming shipwrecked. This is the analogy that's being given here in essence. These are as a reef in your fellowship of love. In other words, be careful where you go. Recognize the danger that's there. In your fellowship of love, that which comes from God, a way of thinking and a mind toward one another within the body, when they come together with you, acting like shepherds. Amazing. It's not feeding themselves, but they do spiritually, in a sense of a perverted spirit, that they're lifting themselves up. Maybe I did need that. But don't. Sorry. Now to find my spot again. Reef. Acting like shepherds. In other words, it's this teacher thing. That's what it's taught. Isn't that an incredible thing that so many, when they go off on a tangent, they become this teacher. They want to be this teacher to teach you what they know that others don't know. They want to share with you things that you don't know, that you don't understand about the wearing of masks or the getting of the jab, to the point where they could say, maybe in a drunken stupor, but they still say it, basically about God's apostle, maybe he has stocks in the pharmaceuticals type of thing. Maybe he's receiving payment from them. Anyway. Oh, yeah, small, as big as we are, I'd get rich, wouldn't I? Anyway, I'm sorry. Acting like shepherds. So people want to teach something different because they want you to hear what they see. Because what they see is more precious than what you've been given. Isn't that a horrible thing? And yet, the vast majority of people who have ever gone in different directions, who have left God's church, have followed that suit. They've lifted themselves up. They are the teacher. They know what you don't. That it's okay to do it. It's okay to go out here and have sex rampantly, whatever, with different ones or whatever it might be. You know, pick and choose and something. The church isn't going to allow it. But why not? Don't they understand? Whatever you have to do to justify something in your mind. That's what people do. So they speak against those things they cannot see, unreasonable creatures, corrupt, and so forth. These are as a reef in your fellowship of love. In other words, we are to have God's love in our fellowship. We are to be sacrificing and giving, and that's what the whole series was about at that point, and things we've talked about here at the feast, that relationship we can have toward one another, the care and concern and the willingness to give up our way, our selfish way, in order to love someone else, never to hurt someone else. Then notice what it says. They're like shepherds, your shepherds, wanting to be your shepherds, without fear. They lose it. If fear was there and an understanding of what, just like what we're discussing here, about what it would mean to sin against God's Spirit, to come to that point, a cloud without water, carried about of the winds, trees without fruit in the fall, twice dead, just dreams at home. Dead, 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 sick, 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 no fruit whatsoever. What's wrong? Well, God's Spirit's not there. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. You know, how much more can you do to a plant, to a tree? Pluck it up by the roots, I'm not going to live too long. Twice dead, things have been... whatever that means. Yeah. Anyway, just showing it's dead, dead, dead spiritually. Raging weight, all by choice. Choice, 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 and responsible for our choices. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. That's what they do. Such foolishness. Wandering stars. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Some in God's church who have been a part of God's church, that's their judgment already. In time, in the past 2,000 years. For some, that's their judgment. Because God knows the mind. He knows when some have gone too far and can't even be corrected in the great white throne to receive Him. Will they be there? It appears as though they will be. At what point? I don't know. Because there are some things that haven't been revealed fully. But they're going to be there at the end for sure. Whether at the beginning of that or at the end of that. Very possibly at the very beginning, because it's not going to be a picnic. And everybody that's resurrected and some of the things that are out there and the choices that people have to make. Because you know what? People still have to make choices. And they're still going to be around people and see people who aren't making the right choices. Who don't want God. Who have some other ideas, even then, about religion or about God. You think, how is that possible? But it's possible. You'll see. Who has reserved the blackness of darkness forever. That simply means that when it's done forevermore. When the fire consumes whatever it is, if that's what it is, whatever takes place that destroys all evil that still exists on the earth, along with Satan and the demonic world that's judged at that point in time, it's gone forevermore, never to be resurrected again, never to have light again. No remembrance, just gone. That's what this is an expression of. Reserve the blackness of darkness forever. So, in working with this series and leading up to it for a long time, knowing where it was going, for the Feast of Tabernacles here, to me it's incredibly sobering. And it reveals more about the mind of God, the righteousness of God, and the reality that nothing bad, nothing remotely that might have the possibility of ever choosing wrong will ever be allowed into God's family. That's wrong. That's wrong. And it's by free choice. It's not because God made them that way, made them do it. But He made an environment whereby we can make choices and use this mind ever how we choose. And sometimes people so damage and so destroy it before they ever have the opportunity of receiving God's Spirit, like in the time of Noah and in this period of time here, that it's not God's purpose to do what He's doing with the church right now. And to understand the whys. And if you don't understand all those, to wait in time, because God will show you. If you don't understand that, you don't comprehend some of those things, in time God will show you the beauty, the justice, the righteousness of how He's doing it. But to allow anything into our minds to think, well, that's not fair. Man, you had better fear such thoughts. That doesn't seem fair. Because I love this, I love that, or I love them, and I love, 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 and they should have, and it just doesn't seem fair. Bull. Be careful when you judge God, because that's what you would be doing in your mind, because you're just going to be wrong. You're just wrong if you do it. And I know people in God's church who've done that. Judge God. Didn't comprehend it because of something stupid coming out of their mouth. Well, it doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem fair that you should be receiving tithes into the church when I know so-and-so is trying to feed their children. And they don't have enough money to tithe by the time they're through work and so forth. And they're coming into the church and they're trying to get established. It's just not fair. Wow. Anyway. So again here, God's making it clear that there are those who have judgment reserved for them. Verse 14. Also prophesying about these, again, over and over again, the ungodly ones, not in the world, in the church, in the environment of the church. Also these, about prophesying about these, was the seventh from Adam, Enoch, who said, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of His saints. 10,000s, 144,000 when it's all said and done, but 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all and to convict. So again, judgment is inevitable. There comes a time when it has to be set, established, determined. To execute judgment upon all and to convict, or the word means rebuke, expose, all those who are ungodly among them. Yeah, that's amazing. This is God's plan through the millennium. It's God's plan throughout the great white throne. It's God's plan right now in the church, in the environment of the church. To expose, to rebuke all who are ungodly among them. Among them, and what they're doing, I should say, as far as their attitude and their actions, but in the fellowship. And so if there are those who are ungodly, and there are others like that as well, it's going to be exposed. It all comes up. It all comes to the surface, and some things we don't see right now that are there in somebody's life. I know today there are some out there, somewhere, because by this time and 1 year later, they won't be with us. That's God's cleansing the church, the body. And so one way or another, things get revealed. And we yield to God, we repent, we want this way of life, we fight for it, or we don't. That's the reality. And who's that upon? Each one of us. Each one of us. That's what this is saying. That's what it's talking about. So, anyway, of their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, not the way they were taught, not the way they were shown, and of all their hard or harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him, against God. So that's what individuals do when they begin to turn away from the truth and they speak something else. They're harsh speaking toward God. That's what they're doing. No, but they don't see that it's toward the one who says he's an apostle or toward some in the church who just don't have that love or don't... Anyway, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's turn over there. Hebrews chapter 10. Beautiful verses here, admonitions for us, and all these things given to us so that we can be sobered by the reality of choices, to understand more so the preciousness of what's been given to us, to treasure it that much more, to fight for it that much more, and to have more of an insight and understanding of the righteousness and the justice, the love of God Almighty. And either we yield to that love with all of our being, Chapter 10, verse 35. Do not cast away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. A great payment of wages is what it's saying. To grasp what God is doing and get offering us, not just for the sake of getting something that great, but recognizing how awesome it is and latching hold of it the way God wants us to. He wants us to latch hold of that inheritance. And to understand the beauty of it, the riches of it, the goodness of it, the right of it, if you will. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So, you have to have patience, however long you're in God's church, to continue to fight. To continue to fight against self. It takes time. It takes a lot of time. For yet a little while, and he who shall come, will come. So all through time, especially within the church, when John said, this is the last time, he believed with all of his mind, that was it. That they were at the time of what Paul had talked about in Thessalonians, because of what he was seeing within the church. That was the present truth. So, there's always been that desire, especially during the times of the church through all the eras, that Joshua will return. That Joshua will return and establish God's government on earth. And to know that we're there now, we're right at that point in time, these words should ring out even that much more powerfully to us. For yet a little while, and he who shall come will not tarry, will not delay any longer. But 1,900 years ago, there was a need to delay for a longer period. 1,000 years ago, there was a need to delay that time because it couldn't happen yet, because 144,000 weren't there yet. To delay that time, 2008, yes, because of those who had given up their crown. So more time was given, and were we given understanding to comprehend that? An awesome thing to know and to comprehend why. Because others were going to be given that opportunity now to grab hold, to fight for. And if that's what we receive, awesome. If we live on into a new age, in the millennium, awesome. If we're not a part of 144,000. But for some to become a part of 144,000, who at one time it wouldn't have been there, it's there. Incredible. And so, a delay. Not really a delay. It's all part of God's timing, but the way our minds work and what we say. And will not tarry. In other words, means here, will not delay any longer. Now the just shall live by faith. We live by what we have been given to believe and the present truth, whatever that is at any point in time. We latch hold of it. We treasure it. We don't forget it. We strive to preserve it. We strive to listen to what's given to us Sabbath by Sabbath, holy day to holy day. Repent in everything that God has given to us to see, because we love Him, we want His way of life, we're fighting for it. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any draw back, so many have drawn back. And I'll just be real candid with you, when I said that and when I think of that, I just have a sinking feeling inside, because it's not what we want for others, but they made that choice. You can't do it for them. You hurt because of the times that you walked to God's house side by side in council blended suite, and what could have been hurts because they didn't make the right choices. But it all comes down to individual choices and what we really want. What do we really value? Something in this world, something that we think is... There's no comparison, but what a perverted thing the mind can do to choose things that... to get rid of all that God has offered us. It's horrible. But any who draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in them. But we, hold on to this, but we are not of those. How determined are you? How convicted are you? How much do you know this with all of your being? Because I know this. And you have to know this. You have to be convicted with all of your being. Should have been from the day of baptism on, but sometimes things get hold of people through bad choices and wrong thinking. But you have to fight all the way to the end, whatever that end is. Fight against this and seek to sacrifice and seek to live what God said in the right way. But we are not of those who draw back unto perdition, which is about destruction through corruption, judgment. We don't draw back. So you have to be determined. Each one of us alone can only make that kind of decision. No one else. No matter how much you wish something for someone else, you can't change them. You cannot change someone who chooses things that are wrong. You can't do it. And even God, by the power of His Spirit, can't do it to all. Why? Because He's made us free moral agents. We have choices to make. Isn't that a marvel to understand? We just can change this. And when God gives us that opportunity, then we fight for it. Fight for it. We are not of those who draw back into perdition. Sorry, but of those who believe to the saving of life.